that faith so impressed God that he rewarded him. So, listen, you're either going to move forward, stand still, or fall backwards. God is going to make available to you the power to move forward because he's got yet promises for your future. And just because you had an unfair past does not mean you have to have an unfair future.
Aloha, and welcome to Words of New Hope with Pastor Wayne Cordero of New Hope Christian Fellowship in Honolulu. Yesterday, we began a message where we learned that in God's eyes, where we have been in the past is not nearly as important as where we are going in the future. So we need to keep moving forward. Here's Pastor Wayne with the conclusion of the message, Moving Forward.
Now, it took Job 9 months to redefine this, because the good news is he didn't stay there. He fired his soul back up and he said, I know my Redeemer liveth. Yea, though he slay me, yet will I trust him. And God restored not only his wealth and riches, he restored it twofold, doubled everything. And that faith so impressed God that he rewarded it. So, listen. You're either going to move forward, stand still, or fall backwards. God is going to make available to you the power to move forward because he's got yet promises for your future. And just because you had an unfair past does not mean you have to have an unfair future. You're going to break through. And God's ready to do that. Children of Israel had let their past defined their future. You see, they were slaves in Egypt for decades. Pharaoh's slaves. Well, we're slaves. We're no good. We're nothing but slaves. And then God raises up a Moses to deliver them into the promised land, or the promises for their future. And so they are now rallied together after 10 plagues. Pharaoh finally says, go, get out of here. You want to go serve your God? Go serve your God. And so they go into the wilderness, scampering towards the promised land, when they hit an impasse called the Red Sea. They stop and say, well, what do we do now? They turn around. There's a billow of desert dust coming their way. Who's that? Pharaoh had mustered his army and said, wait a minute. These are my slaves. I can do whatever I want with them. They're my slaves. It's my property. And if they're not going to serve me, they're not going to serve anybody. I will slaughter them wholesale because they're my property. I can do whatever I want. And if they're not going to serve me, I'm not going to give them to serve anybody else, even their God. I'm going to kill them all. So he's moving towards at warp speed to these Israelites to wipe them out and annihilate them. They come to the Red Sea. They turn around and see Pharaoh coming. They get mad at Moses and mad at God. You ever come to an impossibility in your life, in your relationship, and you start getting mad at everybody around you? Blaming everybody. That's the human condition. You just start blaming God, blaming him, blaming you, blaming this, because we think it's an impossibility and we're trapped in, we're hemmed in. There's nothing we can do in our marriage, in our job. We're done. We're done. I don't know what to do. So we just start blaming everybody. We sit there and we start to cry. But listen, what may be impossible to man is possible to God, because we serve a God who can make a miracle out of a mistake. And so they begin crying out to Moses, Moses, we're slaves. No, you're not. You're free. No, we're slaves. No, you're children of God. No, we're slaves. Their past had defined them, didn't they? And you're bringing us out here to die as slaves in the desert. We could have at least been alive in Egypt. So what are we going to do? It's impossible. The Red Sea here, Pharaoh here. We're done. We're done. And Moses says, God, what do I do? And God says to Moses, say this to the children of Israel. And let's read it. It comes up on the board. Go. Moses answered the people, do not be afraid. Here's what God's going to do. Stand firm and you will see the deliverance the Lord will bring you today. Who's going to bring the deliverance? Who's going to bring it? The Lord. Now here's the promise. Go. The Egyptians who you see today, you will never see again. The Lord will fight for you. You need only to be still. And then here's their part, because you're going to have a part in the miracles of God. Sometimes we want God to do it all. He's going to say, oh, I'll do the tough stuff. That's my job. But you have a part. Well, what is it? Here it is. Let's read it. Go. Then the Lord said to Moses, why are you crying out to me? Tell the Israelites to move forward. The Israelites, again, there's the Red Sea. God said, move forward. No, it's impossible. Move forward. Tell the people, stop crying out to me. Move forward. We can't, we're slaves. And here's what the Hebrew says. Tell the people, shut up and get moving. That's what it means. Tell them to quit crying and griping and move. Get going. Why? You opened the sea first. No. You need to be willing to move forward. Why? You opened it first. You know, a lot of times we want God to guarantee our futures first. We want to see it signed, sealed, and delivered. And you know what God says? You move forward. But I can't. I'm a slave. No, you move forward. But I don't have the talent. Move forward. I don't have the time or the money. Move forward. I don't know. I need some more excuses. Shut up and move forward. That's what he's saying. Because see, there's a time to just be quiet. Quit praying. Really? Yeah, that's what the Hebrew says. Tell them to stop. Stop crying out to me and put action in place of prayer. Because sometimes prayer is an excuse to do nothing. Well, I got to pray about it more. I got to pray about it some more. I got to pray about it some more. No, you don't. Just shut up and move. Yeah, but I got to pray. Sometimes I use prayer as an excuse. There's a guy who called me and said, hey, Wayne, we really want you to come to Florida and speak. And I said, oh, no, come on. We prayed and God, you know, really revealed your name and we really believe you have a prophetic word for us. So I said, oh, let me pray about it. And then this is what he said. Okay, but you know what? And then they offer this obscene amount of money. They said, well, we wanted to give you $10,000 for this one talk. I said, you know, I just heard the Lord say that it was time to go. Isn't that right? We sometimes say, okay, you open it up and then I'll go. That's no faith. Now listen carefully. Why did God say, I want you to move forward and then I'll do the miracles? Why? Because God does not reward doubt. He rewards faith. Did you catch that? Sometimes we want God to reward doubt. Just open everything up and change everything for me while I doubt. God says, you know, I'd like to, but I can't because I don't reward doubt. Without faith, it's impossible to please God, says Hebrews. For the one who comes to him must believe that he is and that he is a rewarder. What does he reward? Doubt. No, he rewards. Some of you are here and you've never come to Christ. And you say, yeah, I want to, but I don't know if God has, you know, everything. I need his promise and I need God to change my marriage and I need God. Then you walk forward. You receive him. Yeah, but no, just shut up. Walk forward. Well, why? Because God's not going to do all of those miracles to reward your doubt. He will do those miracles in response to your faith. For by grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourselves. It is a gift of God. Through what? Through faith. God rewards faith, not doubt. So they said, all right, and whoosh. Moses held up that staff and bang, it opened up. They went through, Pharaoh's army tried to follow them, whoop, it closed up. Listen, God will close up your past if you're willing to move forward. Hallelujah. But if you're not, and if you're going to focus on that, why should he? You're going to wrestle with that the rest of your life. Because you have to understand, you're either going to grab onto this and let go of your future, or you're going to grab onto your future and let go of your past. You only can have one. Only one. And so God is saying, it's time to anchor your life in your future. Don't anchor your life in your past. Because as soon as you do, it'll put you in a rut and your past is going to define you. You might have had an unfair past, but you don't have to have an unfair future. Well, you say, well, really? Do we have a part in all this? Yes, you do. Well, what is it? Well, here's very simply part of your part in all of this. You have to work hard to fight off self-pity. Here's your part. Fight off the tendency to give up. Here's another one. Fight the tendency to blame somebody else. Here's another one. Fight the tendency to blame your past for a bad future. Don't do it. Because God is a God of the future, and it's time for me to let go of the past if I want to lay hold of the future. And that's why Paul says in the book of Philippians, forgetting what lies behind, I press forward to what lies ahead. I'm not going to lead my life through the rear view mirror. I'm going to look through the windshield. Why? That I might apprehend that for which God has apprehended me for. I want those to come together. Do you understand? Paul reminds us of that. You have a part. And we all must play that part. Otherwise, we miss it. Just like the building campaign, our Greater Together campaign. We want to build that parking structure here. And people say, well, we're comfortable here. Yeah, you're comfortable because we all are like the initiated. We know where to park. I know that secret corner right over there. And I know where to park now. Yeah, you kind of know where to park, but what about all the new ones? They have no idea. You know what breaks my heart the most? Watching people come through, look through, come through, in and out, and then they drive off. And I think, oh, God, you sent them here, and we made no room. We said there's no room in the inn because we have taken it up ourselves. No, we have to make room for them because when there's a place for them to come, they know where to come, they find a parking spot, they'll come in here and they'll hear the gospel for the very first time. And one day in heaven, they'll turn to you and say, I'm in heaven because you did your part. So it's not really just for us, it's for those that God is bringing. And some people say, well, Wayne, you know, the church is already big, you know, we got a big church. No, you never measure the size of a church by how many are in it. You always measure the size of the church by how many are still outside of it. You understand? There's a bunch of people that need Christ. And so we've got to make room for them. But we all have to do our part. We have tiles being sold. You know, we need 3,000 sold. We've sold 800. So we need quite a bit more. And to get even halfway there, we need 700 tiles more that people will pledge towards. If you haven't, please, we're greater together. We can do it. It's not a huge thing. It's not saying we need, you know, you to give a million or two. I mean, you can. But but a tile or a foundation stone. And then for years and years, we'll see this out here, people coming to Christ. Why? Because people like you and me, we did our part. You know, I was listening to a story about a guy that needed to do his part. There's this Portuguese guy that was praying to God. And he said, God, you said you would answer my prayers, so help me win the lottery because my kids, they need food. And so the next morning, he runs to the mailbox and looks, no money. He goes back in the house, God, you said you was going to answer my prayer. Now help me win the lottery because my kids, they're starving now. So the next day he runs to the mailbox, looks in, nothing. Oh, he comes back in the house, God, you said you were going to answer my prayer. Help me win the lottery. My kids are dying now. All of a sudden, peals of thunder, whoom, whoom, thunder and lightning, and the voice of God booms into his room, and God says, hey, Porgy, at least meet me halfway. Go buy a ticket. We all have a part to play in this. And the Bible says God's going to do his miracles, but we have a part to play. Amen? We all have a part to play. Well, it seems like, roll the clock 40 years forward, that Joshua, who's going to take the baton from Moses, has the same problem. It's another body of water that's impending, but it's not the Red Sea. This time it's the Jordan River. And directly across the Jordan is probably the most fortified city in the promised land. This The citadel of Jericho is surrounded by thick walls that they say was between 15 and 30 feet wide because people actually built their homes in the wall to increase the fortification, and that they would have to protect this area. I mean, it was very strategic, but very fortified. And Joshua was thinking, I don't know, there's a Jordan River here and we've got to cross it. And in the past, God, you and Moses kind of did everything. And I don't know, we're just Bedouin, desert wanderers. And God's going to have to have Joshua change the way he thinks as well. The people then take that whole mentality upon themselves and they start thinking the same way. And here's what God has to say. Because by this time, Moses is dead. And let's read what God says. Not Moses, he's dead. But God says, would you read it with me? Go. Moses, my servant is dead. Now then, you and all these people, get ready to cross the Jordan River into the land I'm about to give to them, to the Israelites. And I will give you every place where you set your foot on, as I promised. Yeah, I want you to listen carefully. The promises of God are transgenerational. It's not limited to a personality. What God promised to Israel wasn't dependent on Moses being there. It would be transgenerational because God would be the one that'll bring it to pass. And the same promise God, the God that promised in the first 20 years of New Hope, is going to fulfill his promises into the next generation. It's transgenerational. We all have a part to play, but God's the one that's going to do it. And he says, Moses is dead. Now, I'm not inferring that I'm Moses and, you know, and I'm dying because I ain't dead. I look like I am, but I'm not dead. But I want you to know that God says to Joshua, let's read this next one here. It'll come up on the screen. Go. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will never leave you or forsake you. I want you to hear that as a prophetic word to New Hope. I will never leave you or forsake you, the Lord says. How many of you say hallelujah? Hallelujah. Yeah, yeah. God will never leave us or forsake us. It's a promise that God has given to us. Moses is dead. What is he saying? I'll tell you what he's saying. Even though something that I've done in your past is no longer there, something in your past died, you don't have to die. Even though the dream died, you don't have to die. Even though that financial setback took place, it doesn't have to bankrupt your soul. Even though you had an unfair past, you don't need to have an unfair future because I'm going to transcend the promises from the past into your future. I'm going to transfer the account. How many of you are glad for that? God says, I'll just transfer it. I'll just transfer it. But you'll have to move by faith. But Wayne, you know, we've had some pretty tough times in the past. Listen carefully. In the end, you know what? I want New Hope Oahu to not be defined by how many times we fell. I want us to be defined as how relentless we've been in getting back up again, to move forward. A friend of mine said this. He said, Wayne, never despise anything that takes you to your knees and drives you closer to God. Because if it takes you to your knees and drives you closer to God, that's pretty cool. It might come attending with pain, that smell, that stink is going to go away and springtime is coming. And there's a harvest. So he said to Joshua, Joshua, I'm going to have you go into the new land because the promises of God are transgenerational. But here's one thing I want you to take with you. It's not going to be guns, artillery or ammunition. I want you to take this. Here's the prerequisite. He said, Joshua, and it's going to come up on the screen. He said this, and let's read it together. Go. This book of the law shall always be on your lips. Meditate on it day and night so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you will be prosperous and you shall have good success. Do not be discouraged, he says, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. Joshua 1:9. As soon as he says to Joshua, get moving. Oh, by the way, as you go, make sure that your foundation will always be the Word of God, because this will guide you on how to redefine your life, how to redefine your future, how to see the promises of God. You got to have this with you. This book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, to be careful to do according to all that is written in it. For then you shall make your way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. One of the things that we're never going to change in New Hope is our deep commitment to God's Word. So much so that I've just finished a study Bible, and it's going to be called the Life Connect Bible, and it'll have our soap and different things in it. We'll have a pretty cool, our own study Bible, because we want that as a legacy to remind this church that we will be a people of God's Word. And at the end of the service, we're going to stand and do our Bible creed to remind us, even as a response to God, that as we move into this next 20 years, we will do it with the Word of God as our foundation, and we'll never stray from that. So in closing, let me summarize. God is saying that even though there's tough things in your past, and maybe even some manure, you define it and redefine it until it starts working for you. You're either going to define your past or it's going to define you. And remember, that may have been where you were, but it doesn't define who you are. God will do that. And He's a God that will lead you forward. So anchor your life in the future, not the past. And make sure you're looking through the windshield and don't drive your life through the rear view mirror. It's good to know where you've been, but that ain't who you are. It's yet to be, and God's making you that person. Always remember that. Let me close with kind of a funny antidote. This is an anecdote. It's kind of reminds us that God says move forward, because you're either going to be moving forward, standing still, or moving backwards or falling backwards. So every morning, speaking of mirrors, when you look in the mirror, let just how God created you to remind you to move forward. Because what side of your head did He put your eyeballs on? The front or the back? Because He could have put them on the back, but He put them on the front. Why? Because God wants you simply to keep looking forward. Real simple. Which way did He put your ears on the sides of your cranium? Forward or backwards? Forward. Probably because God is simply saying, I want you to keep listening to my promises for your future and quit listening to people who talk behind your back. I told my wife one day, what people think about you is none of your business. God created you with your arms to reach. Do they reach better forward or backwards? Forward. Why? Because God is telling you that you and I should keep reaching forward. Which way did He put your feet on your ankles? Forward or backwards? You haven't checked recently. Just look. Just takes a second. Just look. Forward. Why? Because God is saying it doesn't matter how high you blow up. What matters most is what direction your feet are pointing when you touch ground again. Because I want you to keep moving forward. I mean, it's very simple. There's only one part of your anatomy He put on the other side. Intentionally. And if you're wondering what that is, you're sitting on it. Well, why did God just specifically put that one on the other side? I'll tell you why. It's probably because God is saying there's some things you need to leave behind. And let it be fertilizer for your future. Let's stand together. Take out your Bibles or your iPhones. And I want us to share in proclamation and response to God saying, as we go into the next season, here's what we will take. And it's going to come up on the screen. Are you ready? Go. This is my Bible, the Word of God. And I boldly declare that this is the highest law in the land. I am what it says I am. I have what it says I have. I do what it says I do. Why? For I am a citizen of heaven. Give yourselves a hand.
You've just heard the conclusion of a message entitled Moving Forward by Pastor Wayne Cordero of New Hope Christian Fellowship in Honolulu. Thank you for listening. We invite you to visit our website where you'll find more helpful resources from Pastor Wayne, his books, music, DVDs, podcasts, and much more. That web address is www.enewhope.org. Again, that's enewhope.org. For Pastor Wayne and all the Ohana at New Hope, God bless you and aloha.
What if there were a place where you could discover, develop, and fulfill your dreams? That place is New Hope Christian College.
New Hope Christian College is a place where your teachers really do care about you, they want you to succeed, and they're willing to partner with you to do whatever it takes to make that happen.
The education that I've received at New Hope has really equipped me to graduate market ready.
For more information, go online to newhope.edu or call 1-800-322-2638. New Hope Christian College, a place where dreams are released.